Jesus, I wish you were here, but you're not, cause the dreams bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way, cause the dreams bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back you. There's a time that I remember when I did not know no pain, when I believed in forever and everything would stay the same. Now my heart feel like December when somebody say your name, cause I can't reach out to call you, but I know I will one day. Yeah, everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts someday. Hey, everything will be alright. Go and raise a glass and say, hey, here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not, cause the dreams bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way, cause the dreams bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back you. Do 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 do. Memories bring back you. There's a time that I remember when I never felt so lost, when I felt like all the hatred was too powerful to stop. Now my heart feel like an ember and it's lighting up the dark. I'll carry these torches for you, that you know I'll never drop. Yeah, everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts someday. Everything gonna be alright. Go and raise a glass and say, hey, here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not, cause the dreams bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way, cause the dreams bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back you. Do 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 do. Memories bring back you. Do 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 do. Memories bring back you.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Coral. Like Russell said, we are so incredibly excited that you are here with us in person or listening to our podcast or checking us out online for the very first time as we embark on part three of this series we have been in called Playlist. And can I just ask this question? Are we having fun yet around here? I mean, who would have thought you'd be able to come into church and hear artists like the Beatles and Maren Morris and even Maroon 5? And if you haven't noticed already, we're trying to spread this thing around to connect with you in whatever stage of life you may be in or whatever genre of music you prefer. And week after week after week, we keep coming back to this one overlying truth, and that is this, that we believe with all of our hearts your favorite songs have more to say. And we thought, what more fitting thing than music to use in our lives, because music communicates something in our hearts and in our souls that nothing else in the English language can. What more fitting way for us to look at the ways in which we can grow and move forward in our present and in our future? And what we believe with all of our hearts around here is this as well. We believe that God isn't boring, and so church shouldn't be either. And let me just say this. These last 2 weeks of our series coming up next week and the week after that are 2 weeks that you are not going to want to miss. As we finish this series off with some classics from artists like Journey and then bringing home the last week with Michael Jackson, it is going to connect with every single one of us. But today we push forward with this inevitable truth that none of us like to face. You see, as Maroon 5 puts it, there's this reality in every single one of our lives that everybody hurts sometimes. Everybody hurts someday. We've all heard the saying that there are but two inevitabilities in life, death and taxes. And every single one of us can look back on our past, maybe even into our present circumstances, and see this one truth: that in our lives, we experience hurt, we experience pain, we experience loss. It may be the loss of a loved one, it may be the loss of a job, it may be the loss of financial stability, whatever it may be in your life. We look back on our past, and every single one of us have experienced pain, have experienced heartache, have experienced the loss of things that were dear to us and unfortunate circumstances that we did not want to walk through. And it is such an inevitability in life that this guy named Jesus, the very Son of God, when he came and he walked on this earth, he did not sugarcoat that truth. He did not pass over it. He did not paint a rosier picture than what this world would be like for you and for me every single day of our lives. You see, we find it in the book of John, chapter 16. Jesus says this, that here on this earth, you will experience many trials and sorrows. Here on this earth, you will experience many trials and sorrows. It's this reality that this life that we live on earth is full of highs and full of lows. That every single one of us have things that happen to us that we would rather not happen. And yet, if the question is not, will we go through lows? That's already a given that our life will encounter lows. The question changes to, are we equipped to get through those lows well? A few weeks ago, I was having a conversation with a friend, and we were talking about the present state of youth sports in our world. And I try not to get up on my soapbox too much, but this is one of those areas in which I am impassioned about. And as we had this conversation, there was this truth that began to rise to the surface that all of y'all in this room who are parents, who have had kids, who have played sports or been involved in extracurricular activities know all too well. It's this shift that has kind of taken place over the last 5-10 years, especially here within our nation. And that shift is this: that as parents, when we have kids who are involved in sports or extracurricular activities, we want our kids to win. Am I right? We want our kids to play. We want our kids to be the star. We want our kids to get the awards. We want every single one of our kids to at least get the participation trophy awards. And yet the reality is that as we talked about this shifting trend within our nation, what began to rise to the surface as well was this truth, is that sometimes it's better for our kids to lose. Hello! Is that sometimes it's more beneficial for our kids to sit the bench. And you're like, Ben, you lost me already. You're 3 minutes in, and I don't know that I can trust what you're about to say. Why would you say it's better for my kid to lose? It's better for my kid sometimes to get demoted and sit the bench. And the reason is this, is because you and I know that when we look back on our lives, the moments of our past in which we have simply lost a game or sat the bench is small in comparison to the lows we will walk through in our adulthood. And what if walking through those lows in our childhood better equipped us to be prepared for the bigger lows that we would walk through as adults? You see, for me, it hit home at about 17 years old. Some of y'all have been around here to know that I hold my story as an open book about every part of my story. One part of my late childhood, early adulthood story is the loss of my father. At about 17 years old, I still remember it like it was yesterday. I can remember getting the phone call. I was home by myself, my mother wasn't home, and as I picked up the phone, my father was on the other line. He was somewhere in Mansfield, had no idea where he was, had no idea how to get home. And there I was at 17 years old, like, Dad, I have no idea how to help you. Like, you don't know where you are. How am I supposed to tell you what you're supposed to do next? And I called up my mom, and somehow she figured something out to track down my dad and to get him home. And we immediately took him to the doctor, and they said, oh, it's just this one-time occurrence. You've got nothing to worry about. It's something we call transglobal amnesia. And it's just the brain clicking off one time, and you don't have to worry about it again. Except we did. And over the course of the next several months, this one-time event turned into event after event after event. Until it got to the point in which we were like, we have to take him to a neurologist, we have to get further testing done to see exactly what's going on here. And over the course of that testing, what we learned is that my father, at 55 years old, had early onset Alzheimer's. And over the course of about the next 4.5 years, we learned that my father, when he was diagnosed, was not at the mild stages of Alzheimer's. He had already progressed to the moderate stages. And essentially, there was nothing you could do through medication to slow this thing down or change the trajectory of the course in which he was on. And we saw rapid deterioration in my father's life and in everything he was, everything he was about, in his speech and in his outgoing personality. And he always had to remember everybody's names, and he always had my mom there. Like, if I forget, you have to whisper it to me so that I can call every person by name. And every single one of those traits we saw fall off the wayside in my dad's life. And frankly, if I were being honest, and this is difficult for me to get honest about, it was 4.5 years of really bad memories. 4.5 years of being around a man in which I had no idea who that was. When I look back over the last 13 years of my life, from the day in which at 22 years old I lost my father until now, and there I was at 22 years old trying to learn how to deal with the biggest loss and the biggest grief of my life at the same time as I was just a few months into my first big boy job, and I had moved out of the house into my first house, and I started dating my girlfriend, and she soon became my wife, and there I was trying to learn how to become a man without a father figure in my life at a very crucial moment. And as I look back on those days and every day that's transpired since then, what I slowly realize is this, is that when we become people who are not adequate at dealing with the pain and the loss and the grief of our life, it will always come back to haunt us later in life in unprecedented ways. At unwanted times, that when we find ourselves not being able to deal with and progress through the pains of our life, we always end up with unintended consequences that we are left dealing with for years and decades to come. In every relationship, in every similar circumstance, we find ourselves still holding on to that pain in which we never figured out how to adequately move through it. You see, when we don't adequately deal with the losses and the pains of our life, it slowly infiltrates into every other area of our life. It begins to affect every relationship we have from that moment forward. It begins to affect our personality, our demeanor, our outlook, our perspective on life. That life is always out to get me and life is always unfair. Those are the thoughts in which we carry with us if we are not capable of becoming people who deal with our pain and our loss to the very best of our ability in a healthy way. And yet the question that comes to mind is this. If we are called to deal with the loss of our life in a healthy way, where do we go from here? What does it look like for us to deal with it in a healthy way? And can I just say this, y'all? Today was a week of this series in which I dreamed of this and planned this out months ago of what I was going to talk about throughout this series. And as of weeks ago, I had thoughts of, is there any way I could replace this week? Because the reality is, this morning, what I'm about to talk to you all about is more about Ben Carver than maybe it is about you. It's something that I am just flat out not good at, and I have failed at time and time again in my life, in my past, and in my story. And somewhere along the line, what I hope is that by me walking up on this stage and exposing myself to you online or to you in this room, that allows all of us to learn and progress and move forward. Because I believe this with all of my heart, that every pain we walk through has a lesson to teach us. Every pain we walk through has an opportunity on the other side of it. Every pain we walk through is designed to help us grow. And every future pain and every future shortcoming of our life, but only if we let. Only if we take the necessary steps that we are being called to progress through it. But what stands in our way is this myth. This myth that so often you and I have believed and we've been fed by the culture around us. And the myth goes something like this. Maybe you've heard it from a loved one, someone who has come alongside of you in your moments of hurt, someone who went through the line of the calling hours at the death of the loved one that you lost. The myth goes something like this. Well, you just got to figure out how to get over it. You'll get over it. And you see, when we think of those three words, get over it, what do they literally mean? They literally mean to pass over top. They literally mean to not make contact with, to avoid at all cost. And you see, when we continue to live by that myth, we miss the healing that comes with passing through the pain. We allow the wound to fester and become infected when we consistently pass over the wounds of our life instead of addressing the wounds of our life. We've all been there in our past, that we thought we'd be just fine when we gashed ourselves open and we just ignored that gaping wound. When we didn't do anything to it and splash a little peroxide on it or get the Neosporin out and cover it with a Band-Aid, what we're left with years later is a scar that consistently reminds us of the mistake and the hurt that went into that moment of our lives. And yet, there is a process that God has designed for you and me in the midst of our hurt, a process that allows us to heal, but not just heal, a process that allows us to approach the future hurts of our life in a much healthier way, and also grow and progress and become better because of the hurt we're walking through. But what must we do? There comes a point in which we must face our hurt head on. We must look it in the eye and say, hurt, you no longer own me, I own you. And for some of us in this room, what we need to hear this morning is simply this, is that it's not too late for you to heal from the prior wounds in your life. See, some of us look back on our past and we haven't adequately dealt with the wounds of our life that happened 25, 30 years ago. And we've bought into the lie that it's far too late in the process now for us to go back. But it's not too late. There is still time for us to walk through the process of those hurts and grow through that so that those hurts don't affect us in every hurt from this day forward. For others of us, we have hurts that we're going to experience. We're young enough that there hasn't been that giant hurt in our lives, and yet we have an opportunity today to get a process in line for our future that allows us to deal with every major hurt of our life, and it's coming, unfortunately. That's the bad news of life on this earth. We live in a broken world that's become broken because of our sin, because of our mistakes, that's caused all of the bad things in our world. It means the hurt is coming, but we have a way to deal with that hurt in a healthy way. And this morning, what I want to simply do is this. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be the most earth-shattering 20 minutes of your life, but I promise you, there is great opportunity if we implement this into every single one of our lives, into every single one of our relationships, into every single one of our hurts, that there are these six steps. Six quick steps that in every hurt of our lives, when we put this into place, it allows us to make progress. And so we start here. That in order for us to progress through the pain in our lives, and not just adhere to getting over it, but going through it, the first step that we all must do is this. It's in the word grief. That we must become people who are capable of grieving. That there is a necessity in the hurts of our life for us to address the hurt by grieving, by mourning that hurt, by addressing what we are walking through, by, what did I say earlier? Being able to look it in the eye and admit, I did hurt, but I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to push it to the side. I'm going to face this head on. You see, everything isn't perfect in this world. And because things aren't perfect on this earth, that means as we all experience pain in our lives, we must encounter a God who has this message. I don't just want you to know here on this earth you will experience trials and sorrows. What I want you to begin to understand is that in those trials and sorrows, you can experience something incredible. That you can experience what doesn't seem logical in the midst of your hurt. That you can experience things like comfort and healing and even peace on the back end of situations that feel as far from peaceful as possible. Don't believe me? That same guy we talked about earlier, Jesus, the Son of God, when he came and walked on this earth, he gave one of his most famous messages ever. The Sermon on the Mount. And in the middle of that sermon, he addresses you and I in our moments of hurt. and this choice that we have in our lives of will you address it? Will you grieve it? Will you be willing to mourn it? And if so, there is a promise attached to your choice to face it head on. This morning, we dive into the book of Matthew chapter 5. It's a perfect opportunity for you to grab your weekly if you haven't done so already and for you to follow along as we move through the text or even fill in some blanks as we go. But here is what Jesus says, starting in chapter 5, verse 4. He said, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Maybe you don't realize it or not, but this is a promise that Jesus has attached to the moments of hurt in our life. That there is blessing for you and I when we choose to mourn, when we choose to grieve. What is that blessing? He gives the answer at the end of the sentence. The blessing that you and I experience is comfort in our lives. Comfort that nothing else in this world, no amount of alcohol, no amount of addiction, no amount of any pain suppressants can quell in your life, like the presence of me stepping into your hurt and walking beside you in your hurt. And trust me, y'all, I know this is not easy. What else I know is men, we are not good at this. Men, come back to me for a second. I fully understand that when we hear the words mourning and grieving, what is our initial picture in our mind? Right? And some of us are like, I'm too tough for that. I don't cry. That's me. I don't want to cry. My wife would tell you. I don't cry about anything. I don't want to see anybody see me cry. And yet what I've recognized about my life is that me avoiding crying in my life is me avoiding at all costs the process of grieving and mourning and addressing the hurt in my life. And what I've missed is this. Sometimes grieving and mourning isn't crying. We all grieve and mourn in our own way, and yet we have to find out what that way is, and we have to do it. Because if we don't, what we become is like a shaken up bottle of soda. You been there before? You shake up that bottle of soda, and you address that issue immediately, and you carefully twist off the cap. What happens? The fizz bubbles up to the top, right? And you like screw on the cap, and then you do it slower, and you do it slower the next time, and then finally you can open it, and it's all good. But you ever been in the situation where you know you had that one friend who thought they were going to get you good, and you shake it up, and you don't open it, and you shake it again, 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 and eventually you get to a point where you're at the point of no return. It's been shaken and not addressed so much that what essentially is bound to happen? There's going to be an explosion. There's going to be a mess on your hands that you have to deal with. But what if? What if we just would have addressed the first shake in our life and grieved it appropriately? And then the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Instead of allowing all of that pressure inside of us to build up until the inevitable happens and we explode on the people we love. We damage relationships. We damage our personality and our demeanor and our perspective on life because we haven't adequately addressed it by grieving the hurt. And so we have to make that choice, even when we're not good at it, even when we've never done it, to grieve and mourn the hurt. And then secondly, to progress through the pain, we have to be people who are willing to surround ourselves. Because so often for many of us, our initial reaction when we walk through hurts and pain or death in our life is what? I just want to be left alone. Just leave me alone. And oftentimes in that initial statement and in our desire to be left alone, it may be the easiest thing, but that doesn't mean it's the healthiest thing. That we have been given relationship in our lives, and one of the purposes of that relationship is to have people who walk with us through the worst moments of life. Why? Because God knew how difficult it would be to walk through the many trials and sorrows by yourself. It's why King Solomon, one of the wisest men to ever walk on this earth, wrote this in Proverbs chapter 17. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. You know what King Solomon's saying there? One of the purposes of your family was to help you in times of need. was to walk beside you in moments of pain. We were created for relationship so that we had people who were beside us and sometimes, check this out, sometimes holding us up when we can't stand on our own. That's the beauty of relationship. That's why it's necessary for us to choose what's healthiest, not always what's easiest in our moments of pain. And so we become people who are willing to grieve. We become people who are willing to not just say, I want to be left alone and I want to figure this out on my own, because you know what we typically do on our own? We get over it. We don't go through it. And then third, we become people who in the midst of life's hurts recognize the power of compassion. That we must be people who use compassion in life's hurts. And I'm going to talk about two different people in the middle of life's hurt. The first group of people is those of you who are connected to someone who is hurting. Those of you who are married to someone who is going through pain or loss of a loved one in their life. You see, we are being called in those moments to extend compassion to them. We are being called in those moments, for those of you in this room who are married, you know what the Bible, the sort of metaphor that the Bible gives about marriage is that two become one. You know what that means? There's not two different sets of grieving circumstances. It's not, oh, that's their family, and they got to figure that out, and it's not any of my business. No. You're both called to grieve in that. You're called to carry their burdens as if they are your own. We're called to extend compassion when they're not taking steps through the grieving process as quickly as we might be taking steps through the grieving process. When they show more emotion in the grieving process than what we show or what we are comfortable with. Hello. That we're called to extend that in our life. Why? Well, it's because of what Paul wrote. It's because in our deepest hurts, we were extended that kind of compassion time and time again from a perfect heavenly Father. Check this out in 1 Corinthians. Paul writes, God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles. And then there's these two dreaded words. So that, oh boy, that means there's a responsibility coming. That means because of the gift that we've been given, we're now called to do something with that gift so that we can comfort others. For when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. We've been given compassion in our deepest hurts. A God who walks beside us, a God who walks with us, a God who wants to heal us, a God who wants to comfort us. So that we learn a lesson of what it looks like to offer those same things to the people we love in this world, to the people who go through that hurt. I said I was going to talk to you about two different people and our usage of compassion. Now let me talk to those of you who are walking through the hurt. We are also called to extend compassion to the people who love us, who are attempting to help us. Who the people, when we ask them to just go away, and they keep showing up, asking what they can do for us, walking beside us, acknowledging that your mess is never too messy for me, and I'm not going anywhere, and I'm going to continue to lift you up, we don't snap on those people. We don't push those people away. We offer compassion in the same light, recognizing that they are loving us, caring for us, giving us compassion, and we in return give it back. Even when it's not easy, even when we're upset, even when we're not grieving well, we take the difficult step of being mature enough and loving someone else enough to recognize in this moment, I'm going to offer you compassion as well. I'm going to offer you compassion as well when you think you're helping and you say something stupid that really isn't helping. I'm going to bring compassion into the relationship, into the mix of grieving, and continue to give and take, give and take, give and take. And then, maybe my favorite one of all, and I say this is my favorite one of all because this one hits home. This one is a giant part of my healing process. You see, in order for us to progress through the pain, sometimes we need to be people who are willing to stop for a little bit and remember the good times. To stop and remember the good times. I still remember back to the day in which we lost my father. And there we were clinging to the 4.5 years of terrible memories. The things we remembered about my dad that he did that just weren't him. The moments we had with him that absolutely broke our hearts. The way in which he didn't even look like himself. Over the course of those 4.5 years, my father, he was a 6'3", typically 220 guy. He was pretty big. My dad got to the point in which he was 6'3", a buck 25 by the end. And we were hanging on to all of these things that had flooded our mind. In the days that passed, one of the biggest healing things for me, and I'm going to try to not get too emotional in this moment, one of the biggest healing things for me is while we were going through the steps of planning the calling hours and planning the funeral and how we wanted everything to look, we had this moment where the pastor came over, and as a family, we just went out to the back porch and we literally sat there for hours and just told stories from before my father got sick of all the incredible things that we remembered and all the stories that he used to tell and the jokes that he used to say and all the things that my dad did that we were of benefit because we got to experience. And all the things that were passed on that we wanted to pass on to our kids. And literally for those couple of hours, it was this experience of washing away those 4.5 years of bad memories and being able to get back to the point in which we remembered my father for who he was. You see, remembering the good time is this exercise in forgetting the hurt that we're presently walking through. And in turn, remembering the benefits we have because we got to experience 5 years at that job, 5 years with that person, whatever it may be. That in our lives, in order for us to heal, sometimes we have to go back and we just have to remember and bask in the good stuff, even though right now hurts. It's the very reason, insider detail, around here at CORE, we've shifted. That when people lose a close loved one, we no longer send flowers to them. You know what we send them? Paul's gift cards. And we simply write this note. We want you to take your family out for ice cream and just sit around and share the best memories you have of that person. Because there's an incredible healing element in that. On top of, like, what better way to honor the loss of a loved one than to have a dying plant in your house? See, in our lives, to heal and move past it, we have to get back to remembering the benefit that we took from that thing in our life. And then fifth, in order for us to progress through the pain, we have to believe that God cares. We have to believe that what David wrote and experienced is true in every single one of our lives and in every single one of our painful moments. In Psalm chapter 34, David writes this: "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." That we have a God who wants to be closest to us in our worst state. You see, what blocks our view of that, our perspective of that, is that typically in our moments of hurt and loss, we have this tendency to believe that we are experiencing this loss because of God. Like, Ben, I've been to church enough. I've listened to you talk enough about how big of a God we have and how much God loves me and how much he's capable of anything and how much he's capable of the miraculous to know that he could have done something about this. He could have prevented this from happening. And in our constant pursuit of pointing the finger and shifting the blame to the reason that we're walking through this is because it's God's fault, what we miss in the equation is this. It is not God's fault we walk through hurt on this earth. You know whose fault it is? Mine. Yours. Ours. See, it goes back to Adam and Eve making a decision with their lives that I know better than you, God. And you may have a way you want me to go, but I'm going to try my own way first. And for tens of thousands of years since that moment, humanity, much like you and I, have been making that exact same choice with our lives. And in that choice that we make to go our own way and think we know best, you know what happens? Brokenness, hurt, death. A world that is functioning not as it was designed to function. It was never God's intention for you and I to go through hurt. It was never God's intention for you and I to go through death. But guess what? Some things were outside of his intention because of his love. Because he loved you too much to force you to go the way he knew was right, he wanted to give you a choice. I love you enough that I don't want you to be a robot who follows my way. I want you to make your own choice. That's how much I love you. But then with your choice, there comes consequences. For the good if you choose the right, and for the bad when you choose the wrong. And yet here's what's absolutely incredible. In spite of that, we have a God who's not in the business of I told you so's. Like, that's tough for me to fathom as a father. Because before the first service, my youngest was carrying one of those big, giant stuffed giraffes from the little safari through the hallway. And I was like, buddy, stop running with that. It's not going to end well. Stop. And you know what happened? He tripped over it, and he fell, and he started crying. And you know what everything inside of me wanted to do? I told you what was going to happen. I might have done that a little bit. We have a God who's so much better than us as parents. A God who never relishes in the I told you so. A God who rushes to our side but asks the question, can I pick you up? Can I hold you when you're hurt? Can I comfort you? Can I bring about peace that you just can't experience in this world without me? We have a God who cares, a God who's never scared away by our messes. And yet we have a God who cares so much that he never forces himself upon us. He says, I'm asking you to believe that I care first, and then I come in with the comfort, and then I come in with the peace, and then I come in with the rescue, and then I come in with the holding. But in order for us to heal in that way and experience that comfort, we have to believe that he cares. We have to stop shifting the blame and pointing the finger and recognize that it was not him, it was me. It was us as humanity who brought the brokenness in. And when we do that, we experience something incredible on the back end of the pain we walk through. But then lastly, in our lives, as we progress through the pain, on the backside, there's this element that always comes rushing in because of the pain and the hurt and the heartache that we experience. And that one element is fear. That our past hurts, that our past pain always elevates fear in our life for the future circumstances. Like, have you ever noticed that? That as we get burned in our life, what ends up happening the next time we encounter a similar situation? All that fear rises to the surface, and we begin to have thoughts of, maybe I don't want to do anything like that again because I don't want to experience the exact same loss, the exact same hurt again. And so we push relationships away, and maybe relationships aren't worth doing because I was stabbed in the back before and I lost that relationship, and so maybe I just don't want to get close to people. We hang on to loved ones for longer than we're supposed to hang on to them because we don't want to have to go through the same hurt of losing them. We put ourselves in a position in which I don't know that I really want to try to advance my career or walk into what God has for me because I don't want to experience the disappointment of not getting it. And you see, a guy that knows that all too well was a man by the name of Joshua. Joshua was like the right-hand man of Moses. We've all heard of Moses, right? And here it was Moses. He had rescued the Israelites from Egypt and being slaves, and they were headed towards the promised land. And what should have been an 11-day journey turned into a 40-year journey to the promised land. And Joshua got a front row seat to Moses' leadership. And do you know what he saw? Joshua's like, I saw these complaining Israelite people. I saw the amount of times they stabbed Moses in the back. They complained about him. They went their own way. They didn't listen to his guidance. And now God is calling me, as Moses is dying, to become the leader of the Israelites and lead them into the promised land. You know what Joshua's thought was? I don't think I want to do that. Pretty natural, right? And at the same time, he was trying to deal with the toll that all of this took on Moses and the death of Moses and the grief and the loss that he was experiencing of one of his best friends. And yet, in light of that fear that was holding him back to what God was calling him to, here was God's response in the midst of Joshua's fear and reluctance. God says this to Joshua, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." That's the kind of God we have. The God who wants us to progress through pain in a healthy way so that that pain doesn't keep us from what he has for us in our future. So that pain doesn't block the view of having a God who goes before us, who goes in front of us, who never abandons us, who walks with us through every single one of life's trials and life's opportunities. We have this incredible hope in Christ. This incredible hope that no circumstance we face, no pain, no loss is too great for our God. The cross and the grave are proof of that. That nothing in this world, nothing you will face is too much for me. How do I know that? Because Jesus' story didn't end at here on this earth. You will experience many trials and sorrows. Good luck with that one. Hope you make it through. No. The ending to that story is this. Here on earth, you will experience many trials and sorrows. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. What did he mean by the world? Jesus simply meant this. Whatever it is you face on this earth, I have overcome it. I am bigger than it. All the way down to death. The physical death of the body, I've overcome that. Don't you think I can't overcome the death of a job? Don't you think I can't overcome the death of financial stability? Don't you think I can't overcome the death of a relationship? Don't you think I can't overcome whatever death it is you're facing? I am a God who is bigger than that and wants to show you something on the other side of it. But you can't experience what's on the other side of it if you keep passing over it. If you just keep taking the stance, I'll just get over this one. I'll just ignore this one, because that's the easy. That's the comfortable thing to do. No, God says, I have a healthy thing for you to do. And that's not get over it. That's progress through it. That's grieve. That's surround yourself. That's be willing to use compassion. That's remember the good times. That's believe that I'm a God who cares. And that's having an ability to overcome fear. I have something great for you. And it lies on the other side of grief. But the question is, are you capable of doing the hard work? Recognizing that everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts some days. But we are being called to pass through those and experience something great that God has for us that can only be found in the middle of the pain. That can only be found in the experiences and the learning opportunities that we get by passing directly through it and facing it head on. It's not easy. But what I can promise is, it's worth it. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, God, we thank you for what a great God you are. We thank you for sending your Son to this earth, who didn't sugarcoat it, who made it clear that this world is broken, and because of that, we will experience some of that brokenness as we do life on this earth. But take heart. Have confidence. I have overcome the world. When you invite me into your story, when you invite me into your pain, your hurt, your losses, your deaths, I'm bigger than that. And I've got something better than that on the other side. But I'm also a God who loves you too much to force you to accept it. You have to make that choice. God, this morning, may we be courageous enough to make that choice. It's in your name I pray. Amen. This morning, as we talk about courage, I want to challenge you to two unrelated things. The first is this. If you walked into this room this morning and it's your first time here, or maybe it's your second, third time here, your first time back in a really long time, and when you came for the first time, you were a little bit too nervous to stop at the Connections booth, man, today is your day. We just simply want you to stop back there and we want to give you a gift, the first time visitor pack. No strings attached, no awkward conversation. We just simply want to say thank you. We want to say we acknowledge it's not easy to walk into a church, and here's something to help you. Secondly, if you're a lady in the room, I want to challenge you to something specific. This Saturday, we've got something really big happening. And I say really big because of this. Because I believe with all of my heart that this one day has the potential to change your life and change your future. For some of us, embarking in this one day and putting ourselves out there in that way to be a part of a one-day event like IF is a stretch for us. It's 2021. What if this was the year to stretch? What if this was the year to embark upon the uncomfortable for the sake of your present, for the sake of your future? I believe with all of my heart that over the course of those 7 hours, that it has the potential to change your story, to change your marriage, to change your parenting, to change your finances, to change your struggles. But much like God, can't make that choice for you. We're imploring you, challenging you to have the courage to say, I want my future to be better, and what if this one day could set it on that path? Today's the day. Don't put it off one day longer to get registered and to be a part of what may be uncomfortable, but will be worth it. Hey, again, like I said earlier, next week we're continuing with a little journey up in this place. And you are not going to want to miss it. It is going to be off the hook, and it's going to be a message that you do not want to miss. And so we'd love to have you back, but maybe, just maybe, invite somebody to come back with you next week. Again, thanks for being here this morning. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We hope to see you soon.